Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, happy Friday! Yes! Yes, we made it. The weekend officially starts. Well, it probably started about 2 hours ago, but I'm just kicking it in. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. And look, this is a beautiful day for me. I think I might be one of just a handful of people out there. You may be in this small little important minority who is absolutely ecstatic. I'm ready to put a lampshade on my head. I'm ready to party so hard. So ecstatic. So pumped. So anticipating. I can taste it in the air. Waiting for this government to shut down at midnight tonight. Doesn't that sound... Oh, man, what a dream come true. What a dream come true. Well, hang on. I got some details on this because you're going to find out how wonderful it can be pretty soon. But if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. He just stepped out for a second. He'll be right back. 504-260-0995. And download the Winning It Life app. Why you need to download that? So I don't have to repeat the number again. It has on the front screen. It has call or text. So if you want to call or text the show, you do it through the app now. Look, there's going to be a point in time coming up pretty soon where I stop giving out the number on the show, and if you want to call them until you get the app. Why? Because it's 2018. Look, we have millennials out there with the attention span of a ferret on a double cappuccino. They don't have time to sit through 10 digits, much less remember them, write them down. So it's going to the app. But we have some great news coming from the oil industry again, some stuff that we've been building on earlier this week. We have an update on the short sheet to the short list for Amazon HQ2, which this is the worst kept secret here. I don't understand why CNBC and Fox Business aren't saying this, but this is going to be Amazon's new headquarters. They just don't want to tell Seattle, we're bailing on you and your stupid taxes. And then if we can get to it, I'm going to try and get to this list of predictions from Bill Gates' book that was published in 1999. So it's almost 20 years old. It's 19 years old this year. And you'll be sort of amazed, but kind of nodding knowingly at the stuff he predicted in 1999. All right, so back to the government shutdown. Yeah, we'll do the numbers. We have some more financial news. But this government shutdown, I'm so happy about this. And the verbiage in the news is just cracking me up. In fact, I need to turn this on in case the Senate passes it, because we're watching it this close here. It's coming down to it. But the verbiage on the coverage is amusing to someone like myself. And what do I describe myself as? I'm a guy who doesn't really very often vote Republican nor Democrat. I'm usually voting independent of some sort. But make no mistake about it, I am a wild free market capitalist. I care about the economy. I don't really care about any issues that they deal with in D.C. outside of the economy and the military. And that's... Really, they only have three jobs, the courts, the economy, and the military. Anyway, they say, oh, no, who is going to get blamed for the shutdown? Well, they're going to blame the Republicans over here, but the Republicans are calling it the Schumer shutdown over here, and the Republicans don't want to be blamed for it, and the Democrats are blaming the Republicans. No one wants to be blamed for it. Oh, excuse me. From my point of view, who gets credit for the shutdown? Who should we be thanking for the shutdown? And it's ridiculous to call it a shutdown. When you say shutdown, you think the wheels of government are just going to grind to a halt. Everything is going to devolve into chaos forthwith, and it's basically going to be Lord of the Flies, and someone's going to kill Piggy. But that's not the truth, and you know it because you listen to talk radio. And I don't know if I need to tell you about this as much as I'm just reminding you about things you've already known from previous shutdowns. But a very, very small fraction of the federal government's actually going to be shut down. Look, and again, aside from the courts, the military, and I don't even want to put the economy on this. Just aside from the courts and the military, what do we really need from the federal government? How is there going to be chaos? Are the state government shutting down too? Are the county government shutting down? Are the municipal government shutting down? No. So we're still going to have policemen. We're still going to have firemen. There's still going to be ambulance to pick you up if you faint and hit your head on the coffee table. They're still going to be most of the services we usually associate. Bridges are still going to work. You know, they're inanimate objects that work whether or not the Fed has full staffing or not. But there's some things that are going to sound familiar, but there's some things that are going to be a little different about this shutdown than the last one we remember in 2013. But first off, let's just retread some of this ground here to set the context. First things first, this is a financial show. We care about investing. We care about you. And most people's investing goals are centered around retirement. So most of our investment talk is centered around retirement, too. So if you were wondering or you were worried, Social Security payments will be deposited even if the government shuts down tonight at midnight. Now, I've heard tell of both ways. But as it stands in the contingency plans for a government shutdown that's built into the law, Social Security payments are still going to go out. 53,000 workers for the Social Security agency will stay on the job. So 53,000 people are still going to work. Yeah, it doesn't sound like much of a shutdown. All right. But look, this is one of those. The phrasing here is adorable, too. The explanation on why if the government shutting down, Social Security is still going to run. Well, the two reasons. The payments don't rely on the annual appropriations that they're dealing with most of the time when they're talking about the budget. It comes out of your payroll tax, and that's just an automatic. 12.4% gets taken off of your check before you even get it. They hide half of that and pretend the employer paid it on your behalf, but that really should have been going to you. And that's what's funding Social Security for the most part. But also, it's a necessary function of the government. So government lawyers have already decided, all right, well, if we don't have enough money to run the government, this still has to happen. Now you're split either way here because there's a march planned. And I think it's this weekend. It's the annual Women's March. It'll be the second annual Women's March. Don't worry. Last year when they had the body part hats, I think they're backing off of that. So that's good news. And it also, we're told the National Park Service has a special provision for First Amendment activities that require crowd control. So this is a necessary function. There's the air quotes again, necessary function of the federal government. So if you want to have a rally and a protest in D.C., that's not going to be affected one iota by the government shutdown. Adorable, isn't it? Your food's not going to kill you. Meat, poultry, egg inspections are going to continue because they are considered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture to be essential to safeguarding human life, which sounds absolutely ridiculous. You mean to tell me that without food inspectors, my butcher wouldn't care if I lived or died? Just give them the rotten meat. Now, I think businesses already have a built-in incentive to not kill their customers. I don't know if they teach that directly in B school, but I don't think you have to go to college to realize killing your customers is not good for business. I mean, not only do you get rid of your customers, you could get sued, and if you were shown to be negligent. Yeah, exactly. But those guys are still going to be running around, so you won't be killed by an egg. How ridiculous is that? Now, here's something that's different. The rest of that sounds familiar, and that's the same scenario that happened in 2013. But national monuments are going to be open this time around. And look, there was a little, well, they were doing this to be mean, and we're going to be nicer, and there's some politics thrown around there. But what happened in the 2013 shutdown that was hilarious and that afterwards came back to bite them? Is they found out when you close some of these national parks and these national monuments, it costs more to the taxpayers than actually keeping them open. So if you've got to go rent the fence and set it up and barricade all the entrances and have some guy working overtime around the clock at all the entrances to turn away people from what? Walking through the forest? When they went back and they did the audit, it would have been cheaper for the taxpayers, even in the shutdown situation, just to leave it open. And it just defies logic, too. If you're out of money to keep it open, how do you have the money to keep all these guys from what are you doing? Preventing people from walking in the woods? So that leads me to my next little story here. Hang on, where that one go? Here it is. Arizona. Gregory, you're going to love this. Arizona guarantees the Grand Canyon won't close over the shutdowns. How do you close a hole in the ground? Sorry, don't look at the hole. Don't look at, you just keep driving that way. You look forward, sir. Don't look to the left. There's the Grand Canyon over there, and it's closed. So it's amazing. They actually made the attempt to close it in 2013, but it was the same problem. They had to barricade all the roads going up to it, and they had to shut all the facilities. And you can go walk through the big hole in the middle of the desert if you want, but you're not going to have serviced restrooms and all the concession stands that were previously run by the National Park Service. They're not going to be open. So if you got to go, I don't know, go behind a bush or something, but you can still go look at the big hole in the ground in the middle of nowhere. Thank goodness. So some of this is the same. Some of this is a little different. But I'm celebrating. I'm going to stay up tonight, and I have a bottle of champagne, and I'm going to pop it at midnight. I'm going to stay up at midnight. This is going to be like New Year's Eve to me. I'm so happy about this government shutdown because I just love the specter of the thing shutting down and everyone realizing Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Wow, I didn't even notice. Do we really even need this? But yes, Gregory, by the way, we talked earlier. I double checked. Social Security is staying open. 53,000 employees. They're not going to get furloughed. They're not going to work and not getting paid. They're actually getting their check and everything. But what was the list of people who are going to go to work and not get paid? Military was first on that, right?
Yeah, that's a big one. They're going to continue to work. Park rangers will work. Just a good long list, but they're not getting paid. But they'll be doing their jobs.
And then
we sure hope the military is. Now, they always get their money back. But, mm-hmm. you know, over there in your stack of government papers, what's the longest shutdown or the average shutdown time we've had?
The average shutdown.
I might think that. Longest was 16 days.
That sounds about right. And that was the recent one. But look, that's so fun because when the government shut down for 16 days, what am I doing? I'm running around and going, whoa, how's your life? Oh, it's just exactly the same without spending all this money. That's fantastic. Here's something that really rubs me the wrong way about this shutdown. Okay, so the military people that keep us all safe and the park rangers and some of these other guys, they're gonna miss some paychecks. They may be made whole later, but they're going to miss some paychecks. But no one on food stamps or Section 8 or welfare, none of them are going to miss a check. Nobody that works for the IRS or Social Security Administration, none of them are going to miss a check. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
In our 40 years has JPAS produced a grander, more opulent Broadway product than The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Boasting a cast of 65 wonderful singers and dancers and a huge symphony orchestra, audiences will truly be swept away by the magic of this unforgettable musical. Playing February 23rd to March 4th at the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you'd like to participate in the show, let's talk about what you're doing in retirement. Are you on pace? Do you have an income plan? Do you know where you're going to be 5, 10, 15 years out? Have a reasonable idea. Nothing's exact because things change, but do you have that idea?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Couples can boost their Social Security checks with planning. Each day you delay claiming your benefits past your normal retirement age, your benefit ticks up another 8%. And in the event of a spouse's death, the surviving spouse can take the higher of her own benefit or that of the deceased spouse's benefit. See, if the husband claims early, then dies first, effectively, he shortchanged his wife's survival benefit. Instead, the husband should delay his claim, so if the wife can claim the highest possible benefit for the rest of her life, if the wife dies first, the husband simply keeps his own benefit.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the Friday Daily Wrap. Why? Well, it's the music, you can tell. You just kind of made it through the month so far, just gliding along on that thin ice from all the cold weather. Wonder what day it was. Could be the Friday shutdown wrap. Ooh, there you go. Friday, the shutdown wrap, you know. I was thinking back last time. This is, once again, Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker.
Hi.
Just, did we save a lot of money last time? And James was explaining, no, we were way too busy to make sure everything was shut down and everybody knew it. Not just shutting it down, but preventing you from looking to the right down the big canyon and going into the parks.
Yeah. Walking around in the woods.
You had to look, where the monuments in D.C.? The Vietnam one. I don't recall.
Yeah, they put a fence around it.
Oh,
they
had oh, you can't go look. You cannot read the names.
You cannot go look at this inanimate object. How do you even close a rock with names carved into it? But they did it. But it just goes to illustrate how little we actually need the federal government in our daily lives. I'm not an anarchist. I'm saying it's not like we need any of it. But most of what they do is absolutely frivolous. And for it to shut down and they have to go out of their way to show the public that you're being harmed or there's something necessary by funding all of this.
Congress actually has to be careful with this, you'd think. They're going to show that they're not needed.
That's why I love this. This is the ultimate illustration of what I say the other 364 days a year, because you know this isn't going to last very long, not as long as I would like. Hey, we got
it'll probably last till Sunday.
Was that your prediction?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very disappointing. I want it to go at least a week.
No, I don't think so. Just a few days.
Over here in the Periscope, if you want to watch us on Periscope, at Gregory Ricks. Wayno says, I'm trying to find a box of wine that has 126 gallons. Now, why would he say that, Gregory? Why would...
He wants a butt ton.
Butt load.
Well, weren't we... Didn't Dwayne use butt ton?
Dwayne's verbiage was butt ton. Technically, okay. It's just called a butt.
But, yeah, the butt. But yeah. Butt ton, butt load. Mm-hmm. We were using a couple variations last night, but that's where he's going with it. The new measurement.
It is a unit of measurement for liquids, and it's fantastic. 126 gallons. That's what a buttload is. Not kidding. We had to Google it yesterday, and it was.
But, you know, I've used that term, never really thought about it. You know, this is a boatload of money, or buttload. Kind of same thing right there. How much is that? Well, never really thought about it until last night.
Well, I'm such a scumbag. I thought we were saying buttload because we were substituting butt for a more vulgar word. But no, actually, butt is a unit of measurement. And good. That makes me feel less vulgar whenever I use the term. It's like, no. This is a technical term from the wine industry in Old England.
I just don't think it's going to become really mainstream.
We can fix that, Gregory. We can fix that. Hey, did you, when I say my thoughts on the shutdown, how does that resonate in your head when I celebrate the fact that DC's closing down?
You know, you and I have always been kind of on opposite sides of that. I think the government should continue, but you celebrate it more. I know it has to happen at times, and I really don't like it. You think it shows that all of this isn't needed, and I think it shows that, yeah, this needs to continue. But there's only one reason this happens. If we would stop one particular thing, this wouldn't happen. Spending more than we take in. And if anything, this should become apparent to why this happens. So if we, we take in $3.3 trillion in revenue, we shouldn't spend more than $3.3 trillion in revenue. So, but we spend $500-600 billion more.
Mm-hmm.
So if Congress doesn't adjust the books, kind of like cook the books, adjust the books, we have a government shutdown.
You know what the government shutdown feels like on the household level is, last year when I had two jobs and one went away, and this is the only one I have now, and Miss Parker was already a stay-at-home mom, so she didn't have any income coming in. That's what this feels like. I just cut out all the unnecessary stuff. You know, it was, what's it called? The workers that are unnecessary. They're not called unnecessary. Non-essential. So I was cutting non-essential stuff. I cut the subscription I had to Audible. I cut my subscription to YouTube Red. I backed off my DirecTV subscription. I don't need HBO until Game of Thrones comes back on late next year anyway. So, that's what I was going through. I was cutting all my non-essential stuff. And going out to eat on the budget, that went down to twice a month. That's what we do, because that's what happens when you have 18 kids or whatever. So on a household level, I know what this feels like, and I'm better for it. Every once in a while, you do need to trim the fat and learn you can live without certain amenities. And I just like having them at least somewhat learn the same lesson that the rest of us have to go through, that we don't get to cheat math.
I'm just thinking long and hard about it, the technical part is, we have to shut down. But we don't have to stop spending more than we take in. But we have to shut down. That's contradictory. What do we really have to shut down? You're printing the money anyhow. Just, you have to shut down the press for a few days. But you think about it. It's just contradictory on that. We have to shut down because we have to adjust the books. Well, that's done all the time anyhow. I don't know. I'm just questioning the purpose of the shutdown. And then, something bothering me more than this, because this doesn't bother me. And look, what did the market do today? Now, a couple days ago, the market kind of had a sell-off. Not much compared to how much it goes up. It just gave back a little bit. It's worries over the government shutdown. Well, today, how much worrying was there? None. I know this kind of changes the subject, but this FISA,
the FISA memo?
The FISA, that's it. It's kind of FISA, not like Visa, but FISA. This memo of what the government snooping is doing. And they're like, everybody's talking like you're shocked. They're naming names. You would be stunned at what's being done. This is going to be bigger than what, and you kind of name, this is going to be bigger and worse than whatever.
Watergate.
And they're like, well, should we release the memo? Should we tell the public? if you, here's where I'm at, real quick on that. Then this is a cover up. You can go talk about, oh, but I don't know if I can tell you. I'm going to talk about it all day, but James, I'm just not going to tell you what I found out. It's like throwing gossip out there and you just keep teasing it, but you never tell the story. And you have to tell the story, or this, if this is bigger than that, and you name anything you want, this is bigger than that. And if you never share it, this is the biggest cover-up of all times. Whatever it is.
You want to hear my thoughts on the FISA memo? They're overselling it. There's going to be some things in there that's like, oh, well, that's wrong. But this isn't going to be bigger than Watergate or the Teapot Dome scandal or the Civil War or whenever they canceled MASH.
And what if you're wrong? What if it's bigger than MASH being canceled?
Well, look, here's what I throw back at you. Name the senior level White House official who has ever gone to jail for any level of corruption in the history of the United States. Yeah, that's a pretty difficult task. That's a tough road to hoe. And I'm not talking about Scooter Libby. I'm talking about for real. Yeah, no, it just doesn't happen. These people don't go down. They don't really get punished for it. But don't worry, even in the shutdown. See, here, and I can tell where your cognitive dissonance is coming from because I have it too when you're subjected.
This is bigger than the government shutdown.
Right, but it's the same thing. The language they're using with the memo just don't jibe with reality. Like, it's not a shutdown. When you're temporarily sending your furloughed workers home and it's only 31% of the workforce and it's only going to be for 3 days, this isn't what the rest of the world would consider a shutdown. If two people from your office didn't come in one day but the rest of the office stayed open, that wouldn't be an office shutdown.
No.
So it's not even a shutdown, and that's where...
So where does it move to a shutdown? Okay, the weekend, it's kind of Friday. This is perfect time to do this. But we hope to make our point before Monday gets here. Because then it becomes real. You know, if we miss the weekend, couldn't go to the national park, somebody's there not stopping the bears from eating people.
Right.
Stop
yogi.
But come Monday, this, we can't have that.
But don't worry. Look, over the weekend, even if there is a shutdown, the work of the special counselor, Robert Mueller, is investigating with a potential Russian interference in the election.
He's going to be without pay?
Nope. That's still going. That's still going. It doesn't rely on an annual funding appropriation. So 95,000 employees in the Justice Department, Gregory, are still going to be going to work, not missing a check, continuing their law enforcement activities because the law enforcement capacity of the U.S. government should not be impaired.
No, this isn't a shut. We need shutdown. Mueller should be shut down, too.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Something you might should consider. So if you figure that your estate has potential tax liability on your death of, let's just call it $3 million of exposure, you can take out life insurance to fix that.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks and Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
We can fix credit. If you're a renter and you're thinking, my credit this, my credit that, we work with credit at any number. We don't just turn you away. We do not go, you're a turndown, we can't help you. What we say is, we can't help you now, but if you follow these steps, here's what we can do for you.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. We'll be right back.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
And I'm known for being able to help you out with any of your issues regarding your home, whether it be refinancing, purchasing, or getting out of that bad situation that somebody else told you was a good one.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative of Global Financial Private Capital. Summon the Total Wealth Authority, 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the Friday Daily Wrap. Love me some chicken fried.
Well, I was raised up beneath the shade of a Georgia pine.
And Angie had asked me to add on to our music list, but we can't alter Friday's music. It's so Friday.
We could add Katy Perry, Last Friday Night.
I don't know. Have I heard that song?
Last Friday night, we were dancing in the bar, something.
Okay, I've got to listen to that again. We might could add that to the Friday mix.
I sound just
it
like
says
her.
I know, I was stunned.
Yeah.
You just don't look like her.
I'm pretty cute.
Hey, Bitcoin, was it very disturbed today by a government shutdown? I'm looking at the one-day range, and it started at about, when we're looking at today, at about 11,486.
There you go.
$11,486, that is. It's currently, the last price showing, $11,623. So it's actually
a winning day.
Is it in such a bad day?
Winning all over the place. Government might shut down. Your Bitcoin's up.
It did have a high today somewhere in the range of $11,931 for a entire Bitcoin.
I'm not jumping in that. You want to do the numbers?
And the low was $10,991 that I'm seeing.
Let's do the numbers.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're reading numbers anyway. We might as well just keep it going. Welcome to the numbers segment. If you want to play along, get the Winning at Life app, or you can go to winningatlife.com and find the numbers page, and it will take you to the same charts and graphs I'm looking at here. Dow Jones Industrial finished positive for the day, but not a record-breaking close. But listen to how astronomically huge this number is, 26,071.72. It was up about 54 points today. That's 0.2%. Now, S&P, this is its all-time closing high, if I'm not mistaken, 2,810. It was up 0.4%. NASDAQ was up 0.5%, and this is an all-time high, 7,336. Russell up. Wilshire up.
Has Russell crossed over 1,600 before? That wasn't a record high for the Russell? That was a big number. That's a 1.33 change. I'm trying to a chart here real quick on the Russell.
Yeah, I clicked the little logo. You know, chart's popping up.
I think the internet's running slow in honor of the Fed's shutdown, something like that.
Yeah, look at you're right.
It was not a record.
I'm looking on a one
1603
chart.
Earlier. So it wasn't a record, but Darn, that was a nice move up. Goes back to, January 16th record high of 1,603.94.
Oh, you mean the record from Tuesday? Because I'm looking at the long-term chart. I'm like, this is the top of it.
Yeah, it's close, but not quite there as a record. I just was thinking we were there when you looked from a percentage standpoint.
I see, yeah, I see.
Very close.
All right, so debt instruments.
10-year treasuries, basically flat. We're showing 2.659% yesterday on the 30-year fixed mortgages.
What's staying above four then?
The last was 4.11, so I'm showing that up a little bit. Week ago, 4.03, which was like yesterday. I think we're up like I'll just call it five ticks up today. So it's just maybe it's trailing and catching up with the way interest rates had moved. And then good old Earl, let's see what he's doing today. Crude oil, $63.57, still hanging in that $63 range. And a couple other points about oil since we're right at that $63.57. Something about the U.S. overtaking the cartel in actually production.
Right.
And if we're up there among them with reserves. I'm not quite sure of the order, but... Go ahead. You've got something to report there.
Right. And we are about to pass 10 million barrels a day in production for the United States. And we're being helped out because when OPEC and Russia draw back, that opens up market share for us. Price goes up. We poke another hole in the ground. And they're expecting at some point in 2018 that the United States is going to pass first its all-time record production that was set back in 1970. And that's going to end the peak oil nonsense for a while because most of peak oil was based on, well, look, the United States oil production peaked in 1970. And we're never going to get back to that point. We're about to get back to that point. And if it gets to 10.4 million barrels a day, it's going to pass up Saudi Arabia, which would put us number two in daily production right behind Russia.
We're down 3 rigs for the week. The U.S. is, however, Canada still added another 49 rigs. They're lining up.
Mm-hmm.
One heck of a long line. Can we get in line? We're ready to go. Yes, get in line. We'll get you through the gate. They were over 109 the previous week.
Good for Canada because
Canada's rocking and rolling.
When you look at the ratios of what they got going on up there, they have an oil industry that's comparable to ours, but they have literally one-tenth of the population. What's Canada, like 32 million people in the whole country? But they have an oil industry that's as robust as ours almost. That's a lot of wealth that has to get divvied out but through a small population. That's good on them. Way to exploit and use those resources. U.S. production offset about 60% of the cuts that OPEC made last year. They didn't do all of it. But that's mostly where they're picking up ground. If it wasn't for OPEC voluntarily giving up market share and Venezuela involuntarily giving up market share, it would be a lot harder for us to gobble that up. But they're creating these opportunities. And our shale guys are stepping in and they're finding new ways to cut costs and get that stuff out of the ground even cheaper. The oil renaissance is another one of those things you point at when people ask, can this economy keep going? Well, that part of the economy is going to be strong no matter what else happens.
Absolutely. Gold was $1,331.10 a precious ounce, so it's up almost $4 today. Silver up some pocket change. It was $17.02. Gosh, that doesn't... That's not much above yesterday, actually.
Well, no, I don't know, Gregory. I saw a commercial that said it could go to $30 in 5 days, and it'll probably go to $100 pretty soon. I mean, we're not going to put a timetable on it, Gregory, but you can expect it at some point. that it's going to go. I know these commercials
are
adorable.
My wife cracked me up the other day. We were in the morning. We do some coffee and watch Fox Business. Commercial came on about this silver cash. You know, you could have it. And she said, "Well, you know, they just advertised this, and those silver coins were actually that were lost and recovered were from the New Orleans Mint." And I said, "Really?" She said, and I said, "Well, how much are they?" So she said, "You can get 3 coins for like $299. And I said, "Are you aware of how much an ounce the coins are selling for?" I said, $17. That's quite a bit of markup. She says, because she was wanting one because it was the New Orleans Mint. And then when I told her the price per ounce, she said, "Ah, that is a bit high. Never mind." So she got over it real quick.
But they're not selling the silver in that ad. They're selling the fact that you can take this historic artifact and hold it in your hand and you will contemplate the Confederacy and the Civil War. And No, it won't.
It is about market price. She doesn't want to overpay. And it's New Orleans Mint, but that's kind of a big markup. Yeah. I said, "Yeah, I'd be interested in it for $17.
Right.
A coin, yeah.
And that's about what I would pay for yoga pants, too. But some people are willing to eat that markup.
Well, it depends on the brand. There's market prices for different ones. I was reading about this multi-level company that...
LuLaRoe.
Yes, kind of went under, and they're basically calling it a scam and such. But
are you saying LuLaRoe went under?
Well, it's still there, but it's breaking down. And then they were saying the LuLaRoe was defective. And there was one part where they buy this inventory and would be selling it. And this lady said, "I've still got $14,000 worth of inventory, and they're supposed to take it back because it's defective, and nobody's taking it back." So I guess the market price for that dropped, that you can't even sell it for anything really at this point. But that hints there's some that are super high quality and bears a different market price. Silver, last time I checked, is silver. There's not different electricity in silver or quality.
It's an element. There's not a lot of variations there, right?
Yeah.
504-260-0995 if you have any questions. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Never in our 40 years has JPAS produced a grander, more opulent Broadway product than The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Boasting a cast of 65 wonderful singers and dancers and a huge symphony orchestra, audiences will truly be swept away by the magic of this unforgettable musical. Playing February 23rd to March 4th at the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Get a second opinion on how any of these worlds work regarding your fees, regarding the stress on the portfolio, or how much should be in fixed, and then are you getting the best deal out there?
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks and Associates, 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
You know, there's an attorney a while back died, and he was in his second marriage. And the first wife was the beneficiary of the IRA, and she wasn't the sharing kind. So the second wife was out of that money. If that's what his intent was, well, it played out that way. But the children were arguing it was supposed to go to them, and it was quite a bit of money. You always need to be reviewing these accounts to make sure your beneficiary designations are up to date. If your advisor's not asking you about this every year and making sure that we've got copies of documents, that you know how this is listed, you might be working with the wrong person.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
It's like I'm back in school and I'm in the last class, and I'm passing time until the bell rang. Having visions of summertime, but wait a minute now, it's just later tonight. 10 legs and tailgates all up in the moonlight.
Welcome by back, way, Winning at Life. The Friday wrap, which leads to tomorrow's show. We do that at from 10 to 1 tomorrow, the weekend wrap. You know, since we had, I'm Gregory Ricks along with James Parker here for this last segment. If you'd like to throw in that question, you can call us 504-260-0995. Hey, download that app. Which app? The Winning at Life app. That's right. You can use it to connect to the show or to my firm. You know, yeah, I have a daytime job. That's how I have all this material for the radio job, host of Winning at Life. On the break, we were kind of talking about LuLaRoe, mm-hmm. and now I find out why James was so up on that. He wasn't selling it, but it was annoying him on Periscope and other things he likes to use streaming-wise. And so that led us to one of the most well-known multi-level selling get rich methods, some call schemes, scams, and such. But Amway made China a $1 billion market. Now it faces a crackdown.
So Amway's still around, but it moved to China? Or it's well, global?
It, you know, it kind of ran its course here, but I guess there's young people that don't know about it could sign up and sell the stuff to make somebody else some money. But Amway said it welcomed China's crackdown on multi-level marketing as a way to distinguish pyramid schemes from legitimate direct selling.
So they told China, we'll give you a bigger piece of the pie if you go crush our competition?
Yeah. I'm trying to get some more details.
How would
here.
You explain Amway to a millennial? It's like, look, before Amazon existed and you wanted to get products from a centralized service, there were people who would go out and they would sell you crap from a catalog.
Herbalife, you know, is one of those organizations. USANA Health Sciences. They disclosed last year they faced investigations in the United States for their operations in China under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which prohibits American companies from bribing foreign officials. Another, Nu Skin, you heard of them? Nu Skin, that's another, settled a similar case with the SEC in 2016, while Avon Products pleaded guilty in 2014, resulting to $135 million fine. Well,
wait, they were bribing people?
I'm like kind of confused. Okay, they take what they were doing over here and they go to China, and now they're paying fines for doing stuff that they weren't supposed to do. Well, why were they let do it here in the U.S., whatever this is they're doing? The industry is absolutely chaos for China, said Yun Fan, a former Amway distributor who wrote a scathing memoir under the pen name Kai Fei, noting the Chinese law prohibits many of the worst practices associated with multi-level marketing.
Yeah,
the root problem is that the government is riddled with corruption and not doing its job. Well, no, that's a one heck of a lot of people to run your little multi-level stuff. I'd want to be at the top. Get in first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who's the first one?
But if you're going to go into the second and third world countries, don't you necessarily have to bribe government officials to grease the wheels of commerce?
Well, it's by far the largest. Let's see, who's Amway is the largest multi-level marketing company there in China. 1.5 million distributors, more than all the others combined, according to the Ministry of Commerce's records. China is now Amway's largest market, accounting for 2.6 billion in revenue, or about 30% of worldwide sales. Crushing it.
Why is that so fascinating?
Crushing it.
Because, look, I think if I tried to explain to my kids why Amway was a thing when I was younger, but it's not now, because the function that Amway had back in the 80s and 90s is what Amazon does now. You want to go to a central place where you can get a variety of products, and the advantage is you don't sacrifice any quality, but you do get it cheaper, and it's shipped right to your house. You don't have to go to a store or anything. Isn't that pretty close to what Amazon's doing now?
Well, you're saying Amway was like that, but, well, like that, we can compare it. What's that Amway of China?
What, the fam guy?
No, what's the Amazon of China?
Oh, Alibaba.
Alibaba. So you're saying all these people that are selling for Amway could be Alibaba. Alibaba's just one person selling everything to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But Amway's using 1.5 million to sell to the rest of them. It's not quite the same thing.
I got to admit, I don't understand how they stay in business, but if they're pulling in billions and billions a year.
Well, how many people live in China? It's a lot of people to roll through. It took them a couple decades to run through it here in the U.S. to where everybody knew what it was. When it wasn't a secret, then it's kind of over.
Oh, is that the catch to it?
It's the secret of it. You don't know about it, but James, look, if I hire you, look at the great products. You can use this stuff, and guess what? You could tell all your friends, they start using it, and you make money. And then they tell all their friends, look how many that would be several layers deep, and you're getting a little piece of all that. You could be rich, James. Wouldn't have to do radio anymore. Well, you could still do it because you want to, but you won't have to do it to make money. And that's what they're doing in China. But once everybody knows, it's over. Because they're doing it more for the motivation of, well, if I get all my friends and they get all their friends, then they get all their friends. I'm making a lot of money. Are you really using it for the product? No. You're using that little speaker on the counter. Hey, Amazon, hey, send me some more soap.
Speaking of, we now have the short list for Amazon HQ2. You want to go run?
What now?
Well, we're talking about Amway and Amazon.
Okay.
Some news that came out that they announced yesterday that they have come out with a short list of contenders for its second headquarters, HQ2.
Oh, yes.
Now, Amway's not.
It's really coming down to like two or three. Really, seriously. Miami.
Some of these are bogus, yes.
But LA? Really?
Is Amway, are they looking for an HQ2 right now that's going to have about 50,000 hires connected to it? But here's the list. Atlanta. I'm going to go in alphabetical order. Atlanta seems like it could be in the mix. Austin, Boston, Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Dallas, Denver, Indianapolis, Los Angeles, Miami, Montgomery County, Maryland, Nashville, Tennessee, Newark, New Jersey, New York City. Ooh, gross.
New York City!
Northern Virginia, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Raleigh, North Carolina, Toronto, and Washington, D.C.
Toronto's out.
Yep.
L.A.'s out. Miami's out.
Why is Miami
hurricane,
out?
Hurricane.
Good point.
I have a hurricane philosophy. You're not going to put a giant company on the coast where hurricane can shut it down for weeks. Could you imagine? Weeks without Amazon stuff on the East Coast.
Now, how does Columbus, Ohio make the list?
Well, it's blizzard area, so, you know, it could be named storms go through there a lot, so it's out.
Does that count for Indianapolis as well?
Yeah.
It's almost cryptic here. Montgomery County, Maryland, and Northern Virginia.
That's D.C., you know, they're disguising it, but it's D.C. area.
Absolutely, but... So. That, look, they're looking for low cost to get the land because it's going to be a big campus, but it has to be within a larger metro.
But there's taxes there. Why is Miami considered? Well,
Florida.
You know, all the connections there are there when you're looking to do shipping. And, there's no state income tax.
You know, when you talk about shipping, that kind of makes me lean toward Atlanta, because what is the busiest airport, international airport in America? Is Atlanta Hartsfield. That is the shipping hub. That's a maybe. I'm surprised Memphis didn't make the list. We both thought.
Yeah, I'm just not feeling it on Atlanta. That's kind of Coca-Cola's territory, you know. It's like Amazon pushing in there.
Yeah.
I just go back to... And there's state income tax there in Georgia, by the way. Dallas is, do they have state income tax?
No.
See?
So Dallas and Austin. Well, going down that road, Nashville, Tennessee looks a little prettier too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, considering where FedEx is, and they're building a giant Amazon hub there by chance.
Well, and
too.
I like your weather theory.
And the weather's not as harsh there.
Fewer blizzards, pretty tough to get hit by a hurricane. It's not really tornado country. It's hilly enough to avoid that. So if that's part of it, some of these are laughable, though. Philadelphia, Newark, New Jersey.
Yes, that's the same as being in New York, not happening.
All right, your home away from the show is the Winning at Life app, winningatlife.com. However, remember, if you have a real financial situation that requires more than just a couple of guys talking to you on the radio, Gregory Ricks and Associates is who we recommend to handle that financial situation. Call the office, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. Join us tomorrow morning from 10 to 1. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.